service, there was a person that came from behind the camera and came because of the message 2 weeks ago. And we laughed and wept. It was so wonderful. It was a big breakthrough for them, and that's what I'm hoping will happen for so many people. Let's take a look here, because one of the things I remember as a youth pastor was taking teenagers and helping them overcome fear. And one of those ways that I did that was with young people like 9 to 12, I took them to the public swimming pool for the high dive. You know, 16 feet above the concrete, that's pretty high. And then you stand on that loosey, wonky board, and you look down, it's like, that's another 16 feet. And all of a sudden, you just start to feel the gravity. Aren't you grateful for gravity? You just feel like the vortex sucking me into the ground. I'm going to fall. And then all of a sudden, they run off the board and jump. Yes. And they feel so good. There's something exhilarating about overcoming your fear that is amazing. There's something. And the other way, with the older students, I'd take them really in obstacle courses or rope repelling or cliff repelling. It's amazing to take a look at something like that. They laugh and bust up, and then we call them, "Let's, it's your time to come on over here. It's your time. Here's the course. You're now going to rappel down the hill." I'm telling you, they're sober, white face sheet. And then they do it, and they feel so good. You know, when we take a look, there's one fear that a lot of people have, and that is gathering with other humans. It's a very real fear. It's kind of like going to the high dive for the first time. It's like, you know, I don't think I need to do that today. And it's something that's taking place here with people. And there's probably, people are very desperate, needing for human interaction in their lives. These past 20 months have really laid bare people's inability to get together. And we're going to see maybe some of their fears are for good reason, but let's work it out together because we've got some weeks to enjoy. Number one, let's look at our notes. Understand why we fear gathering together. I think it's worth taking a look at. It's important for us. The very thing our hearts crave, I want to be with people. I fear being with people. Why is that? I think it's worth noting in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 2, says, "Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding." We just really need, Lord, what is it that I'm dealing with? Why is it I don't want anybody to know anything about me? Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. "Joyful is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding." So it's amazing how even sometimes people are afraid of the gifts of the Spirit. We just don't know certain things. Lord, why is it that I'm so fearful? What is the results of that? The outcome's going to be, oh, that makes sense. I'm feeling so good about that. But why? Why is that? Well, I think what I have seen personally and noted by just observation and conversation with people, because we've been wounded. We've been wounded by others. We've been betrayed by others. We've been rejected by others. Anybody that's ever been through a divorce knows what it is. That's so painful. So when we deal with people that have dealt with other people, we have real hesitation. The attempts of being with people, it's like, no thanks, I've been there, done that. It starts off as children. Children can be quite cruel. You remember those days of junior high on through to high school. It's like, whoa, you had to say and to do certain things to actually, or to fit in. You had to kind of be something you might not have been in order to work through with that. So did that ever stop? Not so much now. Even as adults, we discover that broken marriages or maybe just poor coworkers, deceptive coworkers or friends, it's amazing. Why do people hold back from wanting to interact with one another? That's what we're just like, Lord, why is it that I'm just like you and me and that's it? I'm not letting anybody else. Remember when we were together, Dr. Henry Cloud in his book, The Power of the Other, we're talking those four separate corners that we could all be in even in one day simultaneously, where you have no connection with people, then you have bad connection with people, and you have fake connection with people, and then you have the real connection that we're wanting to see happen that's like, yeah, you feed me, you help me. So all of a sudden, those two corners that people are in because of the last 20 months seem to be the bad connection or the fake connection. The bad being is where you just know that there's somebody in our lives that control us emotionally. There's something where they just kind of really going through that element of rejection once again. It's been a very toxic environment that has happened, and people are not so quick to want to come back into interaction with the public. Our culture has been just that. If you're authentic in public, you'll probably get shamed, and if you're compliant, you'll get accepted. It's kind of the way it's been. If you want to take a look at what it's like, just go on social media. I'm telling you, you will get lambasted if you are authentic. So you cannot be authentic. Dialogue, and let me just address that. Dialogue with COVID, watch out. There's both extremes going on there, or mandates, or about treatments, or about vaccines. People are destroying relationships over these silly topics. And that's why they don't want to go into public. And that's why it's affecting even the Christian gatherings. Our culture as a church is where authenticity can flourish. But it doesn't happen in social media. That's destructive and that's dishonest. But people seem to stay there. So we just want to be careful about that. Probably the other area is that the COVID fear of getting sick. So people continue to isolate themselves, and it really is becoming quite an emotional, destructive environment. So I know that you're praying. That's why we're just bringing this up, making people aware. It's time to say, okay, how long do we stay away from people? How long? Let's take a look at number two. Recognize which social corner you're in. So we just understood why we might be afraid to come around people, but what corner are we in? What relationship? That's important for us. As a leader, I think I need to kind of be transparent, but it's been a tough 20 months. It's been everything that I do, there'll always be another side that says, I don't like what you did. Or you didn't say enough. Or you said too much. I don't want to go there. It's like, whoa, where do you land on this one? So you can see right now, you could say, well, do I let people control my thinking, or do I just be a little more cautious? That's just been my challenge. So it's the beauty of being the pastor. You kind of get to share certain things on Sunday and just like, well, here we go. And it's important because the tendency is that oftentimes we'll just go to corner number one, no connection. And that's the group I want to address. And come back and say, let's get back in there. So I think we need to pray. Pray away our loneliness. Pray away, Lord, give me insight. What corner am I actually been in lately? What way? And I love that in Psalm 139. Can you take a look at that, verse 23? It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. So I like that. God, what is it? Why am I filled with such anxiety? What's my anxious thoughts all about? And Lord, show me the way that will lead me into a good path, a good lifestyle. There's been many times, you should do this as a Christian anyway, where you entertain a certain thought that you just know is not from God. Many years over life of ministry, Ainsley, my wife and I, there'll be times I say, you know, so-and-so addressed this, and I know I'm a failure at this. I said, honey, come here. That is not the heart of Jesus. Let me pray that off of you. In the name of Jesus, get out. We move on with life. But it's important to address. It's important to protect. You men of God, protect your wives that way. And you know, the abundance of the heart when they say, I'm just a disgusting mom. I'm a terrible husband. Come here. That's not the heart. Where'd you get that? That's not from Jesus. Come here. Let me pray that off of you. In Jesus' name, go. Be careful about those things. Letter A, recognize your denial to gather with others. Recognize that. Do you not want to gather? Is there a reason why you don't want to gather? I recognize something in Proverbs 18:1, New King James, says this, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. I don't know if you know anybody that just does not want to be with others. And if anybody challenges them, they really get quite hostile. But that's what Scripture says. So person that we probably lie to the most is ourselves, isn't it? We'll say things like this. Yeah, I don't need to connect with anybody. Or I can do that myself. Or people will never really love me. Why should I try? Or if they truly knew me, they would reject me. Or being alone isn't that bad. Or what's wrong with it anyway? At least I feel good. So those things can really put us into really those elements of fake connection, thinking that I'm okay. So I just want to bring that up. Letter B, listen to others is crucial to moving forward. Isn't it great to have people in our lives? You know me, I've shared about, you know, handling the school of criticism and flushing the flesh when you know it comes from somebody, anybody. But it's important to have people that come into our lives that would just bring up certain things. I love that element in Proverbs 15:32. Check it out with me. If you reject discipline, you'll only harm yourself. But if you listen to correction, you grow in understanding. Now, that's hard to take correction. I don't like it. No one likes it. But I want to grow. I want to grow. And if I realize that anybody has my best interest, I should probably slow down and listen to them. Somebody might come along and say, you know what, you're way too isolated. Kind of like I may be saying to a few people, way too isolated. Yeah, just when's the come out day? And there are other areas that somebody might say, you know what, that relationship you're in, that's toxic. You need to stop. You're not the same person you and I grew up with. Come on. Or somebody else might come along and say, you know what, you're pouring yourself way too much into your work. You're neglecting your family. See, that's very helpful information. But some people may never really want to hear it, not interested in it. So it's important that we take a look. Number three, take practical steps to overcome fear of gathering together. Well, this is where we go to the high dive, huh? We're going to practice that. We're going to get their cliff climbing ropes and rappel right here. Are you ready? I'm sure you are. Listen, look at us. How do we overcome that element? Letter A, think correctly about your need for others. That's important. Do you really need somebody in your life? We do. We saw that last time we were together. God says, it's not good that man should be alone. Why, Lord? Think through what that is. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You know, when God says you need to be with the believers, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves as the manner of some is. That's important. Then we take a look and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to agree with God. Think correctly about myself. Letter B, keep talking with God about your fears. That's important to me. I think we all have those elements we deal with, but Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. So regathering with authentic relationships with both God and people, sometimes people don't even want to connect with God because they're concerned that God might address something and bring them back into an area that they really thought that they should have never really participated in. But I think overall the fear is that might cause me to become wounded, might cause me to be rejected. I don't want to face betrayal again. I'm not going to do that. And usually what we'll do is we will exit from others. We refuse to connect with authentic relationships. We will cut it off before they reject us. And that's usually how that goes. Let's move just a little bit more. Letter C, get in the right environment for real benefits. Boy, that's, when we talk about the redeemed community, you know when you're sensing the presence of the Lord or not. That's important. We work hard to want to nurture that presence of God. We could all get a big crowd up and get a big hot air balloon and get a big crowd around it and enjoy it, or maybe a few songs, but man, let's press into Jesus. And I like Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. It says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love, good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together. That's important. There are some great areas, and that's what Hope Chapel, we try to work well by, man, that Koinonia courtyard, free donuts and coffee, is intentional to get us together. Maybe something of a relationship might remember someone's name, maybe a connection on down the line where you might need someone's assistance in ways of just employment. Who knows? But that's the beauty of our life groups. That's the beauty of service groups. That's the beauty of participating in a ministry. It's wonderful, and I invite you who are online with me now. Man, it's great. Come experience that environment. Our next Sunday afternoon, we're having our turkey something social, whatever that something is you're going to bring. But it's intentional to gather together so that God's presence can do a great work. Letter D, practice being real once again. Boy, that's an important thing. What do I mean by that? Well, I like Romans chapter 12, verse 9. It says, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Practice being real once again. You could go ahead and have a true head-to-head conversation, which means we're just exchanging information. That's comfortable. That's usually where guys land. But how about a heart-to-heart? That's where you're sharing some of those emotional elements of going through things. You know, one person that has really helped our Men of Hope, it's Sean Hersey. Sean Hersey has just even spoken at our last men's breakfast. Sean and his wife, Crystal, oversee our Brown Bags of Hope, so you might know who he is. But Sean, over the last 4 years, has gone through some really challenging, debilitating physical elements and severe surgeries. But when he comes in and shares with the men, man, he's like everybody's hero in that room. Because he's sharing from his heart, he's sharing with tears, he's being about as transparent as he can be, and the guys, their jaws are dropping like, whoa. And then our hearts just pour out to him. And he heard me talk about him the first service, and Sean, if you're on this one, way to go, my man. You're really helping me pastor the church of loaded with good men, great men. But it's important that we share our tender, vulnerable side. I know it's benefited my marriage. My wife, her name's Ainsley, we have to work pretty hard at wanting to make sure we're not just kind of going from walk to time. We just become just sterile in those things. I remember we were married 21 years, and Ainsley came up and says, Paul, I really don't know you. What are you talking about? Yeah, we don't really kind of, I don't know how you feel about this thing. I don't know what you're dealing with. I really don't know much of your background. Honey, you know that line, to know me is to love me. I know you love me, right? Yeah, then you know me. What you don't know, let's not go there. No, we don't. I do know this, that when I start to share my emotions with her, there's something about that, guys. It just like turns my wife on. It's something that's great with women. They love it when you bare your heart. There's something that's there that I didn't understand prior to. Sometimes I'm working to create something that's kind of like tender-hearted, sticky, just to get her to kind of eat out of the palm of my hand, you know, just. So you got to be careful about that. Becoming vulnerable once again. That genuineness relationship is so important. For men, it's very difficult. And ladies, you have to help us. If you are married, you have a built-in practice partner. How about that? Try that, and then bring it to the rest of us. We need some help. Well, I need some help to move on with this message. But anyway, letter E, give it time as you trust the Lord. I love that Hebrews 10, 35. So do not throw away your confidence or this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. It takes time. I'm telling you, I grieve for people that just hit and miss church, but there's no real relationships there. No real authentic relationship is microwavable. Let's fry it up and let's get on going. And no way. It takes time. And you, and I'm so grateful, many of you have been, and number of people, thank you, have been coming to Hope Chapel. And I would say you cannot not come to a church beyond 3 solid months without getting somewhat of an understanding of what that's all about. The average church attendance for a Christian prior to COVID was 2.5 per month. They went to church 2.5 times per month. Those were the good old days. I think it's far less than that now. So you can imagine we're missing a dynamic because people are saying, I'm afraid to go back into personal public service. So let's be careful. Come to Hope Chapel. And finally, letter F, don't quit. Just thought I'd throw that in. Don't quit. Don't quit Hope Chapel. Don't quit. But Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36 says, be patient. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that He has promised. Overcome your fears to discover what God has for you. I do feel for people that have been injured by others. It's painful. Man, but God uses people to bring healing back. The same agency called humanity that's filled with human error wrecks other humans. But somehow in the presence of the Holy Spirit, a renewed healing takes place. And I love the name of a church. It's called Hope Chapel. Hope is brought back. This is a good place for you and I to journey together. Let's gather together from isolation. I want to just highlight, we're going to worship the Lord. I love, all things really start with Jesus. Remember when Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 37, all that the Father gives to me shall come to me, and I will in no wise cast off. That's why I love turning people on to Jesus. You and I get a bad feeling about Jesus because people just kind of represent Him in erroneous ways. But you come to Jesus today and say, Lord, I'm going to trust You. You let Him hold your hand and bring you into that fertile environment where not only you will receive sustaining grace by His presence, but you watch, you will be used by the Holy Spirit too. That's what's going to be exciting. So remember this holiday gathering, when you do your little prayer over that wonderful banquet of a spread, you thank God for His presence. You say, Lord, You show up in my family conversation in a powerful way that's so edifying. At the end of the day, when that tryptophan from that white turkey knocks me out, that I'll say, man, this was a very spiritually enriching Thanksgiving. Let's stand to our feet. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.